Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for you have awakened our hearts, Lord, and you have shed light upon the darkness that we once walked in, Lord, and you exposed it, Father, and we trust that you are giving us a desire, a palate for what is true and good and right, and you're enabling us to walk in the light. So, Lord, we thank you. You are good, and all your purposes are good, and all you do is good. And Lord, we pray that we would be reflections of that goodness today and every day. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. Jackie even has a representation of her kids. It's like a tithe of the kids that she actually has. But you always tithe your best portion, right? Hey, yeah, I get it. So it's great to be with you guys. Stacy and I, this last week, were in Houston, which we would only go to Houston if there was a church conference there. So Advance, the church network that we are part of, we had our global gathering, which happens every 2 years. It was a very encouraging time. 500 people, 80 churches, just a wonderful time of encouragement, of stirring, of just being with the family of churches, seeing our partners, interacting with them. We have some friends from Newcastle that Charlotte used to be part of their church way back, Newcastle, England, and so it was good to connect with them. And so our family tree goes wide and far. And we give each other gifts, and someone from the South African delegation gave Stacy some sickness, and then she tried to give it to me, so let's just not kiss today, and I think you'll be okay. Yeah, so more to come. All of the videos from the Advance Gathering are on the Advance Movement's YouTube page. You can find that link on our website at reservoir.church. Some really great teaching there. You know, one of the pastors, he memorized like two chapters of scripture that he was preaching from and recited it. So if you want to see what it looks like to have a pastor that will do that, you can look at him, because I'm probably never going to be that cool. All right. So Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, children of light. In Christ, we live a life of light. Now, it's Mother's Day, so kids, what I want you to do is whisper in your mother's ear something you love about your mom. So right now, take a second, whisper in your mom's ear. You can whisper it in Nana's ear if mom's not here. Or you can fight each other. That works too. All the seasons of parenting are represented at Reservoir Church. I kind of love it, right? So You can also whisper more throughout the day, or just like plainly speak so others can hear how great your mom has been to you. And the truth is, mothers are wonderful, mostly, right? We love the opportunity to honor mothers, as is fitting for a life of following after Jesus and his commands. And as I was studying the text for this week, I couldn't help but think of just one of the daily tasks for moms. And it starts early, and that's just waking us up, right? This is like the most important job of the day. It can often feel like that, waking us up, calling us to life in the morning. Now, some do it with the smell of bacon on the griddle. Does that happen to anybody? I've heard that happens in some places. Some do it with like a gentle pulling back of the curtain to let the light of the day in. And then some do it with the hysterics of, hurry up, you're going to be late, right? So wherever you are on that spectrum of how your mom hollers at you in the morning and gets you waking up, we've experienced that. And it's not always easy to wake up, is it? To rise and shine. And I'm sorry, moms, that on the one day you are to be honored, you had to get up, and you probably had to encourage some other people to wake up and get ready for church. So we are so thankful you are here. But we like to have more sleep, but waking up is actually a good thing, isn't it? Right? Because it's where flourishing is found. And our scripture for today does much of that exact same work. As a mother would waking up her children, Paul is waking up the church and calling us to life and to light. And there's nothing new or earth-shattering in these verses today, but it follows just this continued exhortation to the church to live according to their faith. It says, you're Christians, you are in Christ now, so you get to live like you are truly in Him. To live a life that matches being rescued by Jesus. And that's what we're always calling each other to, encouraging one another toward. In the author of Ephesians, Paul, here he uses a brilliant metaphor to push the point. That was really clever. See what I did there? Light, brilliance. I thought it was great. So we're just going to do, so this should be a short sermon unless the Spirit falls, but we're going to take two brief points this morning. It's just first the call to walk as children of light, and then second to seek the light of the world. And this is a text and a sermon that is for all of us, but this is especially for you kids that are in here. I know when we have family service, sometimes you bring something to distract you or to focus on, but I just encourage you to listen in this morning, that the Lord might use something that we have in this text, something we see today, to stir you in your faith. That this isn't just a church for the oldies. That this is not just a church for parents, but this is a place for you to walk together in Christ. And so this is a call for you to own your following Jesus. It's never too early, and it's never too late to do that. This is a sweet car. All right, first, walk as children of light. It was my idea to have family services, so I get to just love it. But walk as children of light, from darkness to light. That is a great description of the transfer of a life of sin to a life of trusting Jesus, isn't it? Because we think of the truth of the gospel in and of ourselves. We come into the world sinful. Our flesh and our desires are against God. And even in little ways, not necessarily even in the big ways all the times, but we always put ourselves before others and before God. And we actually need rescue from this reality. So Jesus comes and he lives a perfect life of obedience before the Father, doing everything that the Father commanded. He lives that life for you, but then he even dies for you to rescue you from sin. When your sin earns death because it is opposed to God, Jesus actually takes your place, takes on that death that you deserve. And when you receive this rescue that he provides, repenting or turning away from your sin and saying essentially, Jesus, you are my Savior and Lord, that he is the captain of your life, then life is supposed to be different than it was before, full of sin. And the case for that has already been laid out in the letter to the Ephesian church. There's a manner of living which Christians are called to, seeing Jesus as our truth. We move from theft to generosity. We move from in graciousness in behavior and speech with one another, and we speak to each other the truth in love. Anger doesn't rule us any longer, and as imitators of God, we avoid then immorality, impurity, and idolatry, as we talked about last week. And all the while, our whole life is empowered by the Spirit of God to build each other up in the church. It's not just an individual endeavor, but you are meant for a community that you could sharpen others and they can sharpen you. Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. One scholar says darkness is used metaphorically to communicate a state of moral or spiritual darkness, where light communicates the illumination one receives to live a godly life as a consequence of relationship with God. The imagery of darkness and light is used by Paul several other places in the New Testament, but interestingly, Paul does not say that they were once in darkness and are now in light, but rather they were darkness and now are light. They were not merely in a dark environment, but were themselves by nature dark. And in the Lord indicates that the believer's union with Christ makes the decisive difference in the new state, that because you are in the Lord, you are now light. And we get this, right? We know what we were and what Christ is making us to be. We see that reality as we study Scripture. And then this imagery of light comes, and light is really good. It brings warmth. It sanitizes. It's essential for life. And light promotes life. Plants flourish when we give them light. Iona got last week from a garage sale, a little herb garden that is essentially like these little bubbles with dirt and seed and then a light. Because it's essential that they have light. And even underground, under soil, that light is penetrating and bringing life to that seed. Broken bodies heal faster if we can soak up some sunlight. So I hope Stacy is just sitting on the patio right now. She isn't. She's just in bed. Well, I'll go open the shades gently. But light also awakens us, right? We've all probably heard the sunrise as it awakens nature. Because the sun comes over the horizon, everything else starts to wake up. Birds start to chirp, things start to move around. You can get a sense of the newness, the awakening happening. And light is also persistent. It's constantly assaulting the earth, penetrating the smallest opening. The darkest place is not safe from light. Even our verses make that clear. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. And I love that picture of morning, of light dawning over the horizon and the steady awakening that follows that light. And this is life in Christ, the dawning of a new day for us over and over again. And Paul even says that walking as children of light is fruitful because it generates in us more good in our lives. He uses the phrase fruit of light, and it's unique here in the New Testament, but it conveys the idea that fruit is produced by the light. That is, once a person receives new life in Christ, God's power actually works in you, that person, and will produce characteristics that are found in God himself. As fruit, these virtues are byproducts of faith in Christ, and they are not then prerequisites for us for being accepted by God. You don't have to be good before Jesus rescues you. He rescues you and then by his light makes you good. Amen. And light, strictly speaking, though, does not actually bear fruit. But here Paul views Christ's light as reflected through the prisms of our lives and producing all that is good and right and true. So essentially, in a word, this is just the fruit of a sterling or good character. You've been made new. And it's supposed to be what you live for. With Jesus as our King, the most important thing about us, that we have been rescued by Jesus and we're being remade by him. And what is good and right and true? What was past was deception, instability, impurity. And what is now is the new life that is safe, that is beautiful, that is trustworthy. I have a little tomato plant, a little sun sugar tomato plant. Do you guys know what these are? They're the little orange or yellow tomatoes, but they are so sweet. It's like candy. It's so good. Ewan didn't like it. It tastes too much like a tomato, I think. It probably because it is a tomato. But what I love about this plant is it requires full sun. And we have plenty of sun in Southern California. And so it gets full sun. And I think it's just a picture of what our life happens in full light of Christ. A life in the light of Christ becomes sweet, just like those sun sugar tomatoes. So we live the new life because it is the life that produces fruit, but it's also a life that exposes dark. We not only speak the truth, we live it, and people will notice. There will be a contrast between the way we live and the way the world lives. And while we may face ridicule for the way we live, our lives as children of life are meant to prove the point. They are to show that Jesus is actually worth it. It's that good. And our text ends with what is likely just a baptism hymn that was sung by the first century church. As new believers would come out of the water of baptism and they would sing, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And this is Paul's call to the church to essentially just avoid sleepwalking, going through the motions without any purpose. And we all have sleepwalking stories, right? And some of our sleepwalking stories are more entertaining than others, and so you can share that afterwards. What's your history with sleepwalking? But it made me think of Ewan's sleepwalking. I don't know if I've talked about Ewan as a sleepwalker. He's a sleep talker, sleepwalker, sleep maestro. I don't know. You do everything in your sleep. But he will come out in our house, right? And Stacy and I'll be on the couch, and he'll come out and he'll just walk around. We have this rule, like, there are not to be any cups on the island, and you're supposed to put your cup on this little cabinet area over there. And he will literally, when he's sleepwalking, he'll come out, take his cup from the place it's supposed to be, put it on the island, and then go back to his bedroom. What? It's so disobedient, even in his sleep, right? Sometimes he mumbles, but something, you know, he just has that kind of, it's not a dead look, but it's a sleep look, right? You know what it looks like. And he's clearly asleep and he's just wandering around. And we find it seriously funny. Like, we get so many laughs.
One time he was sleepwalking, he was talking about
buying a hat. Buying a hat, okay. What is it, my kids? You got to help me write the sermon, not like add this sentence in the middle of it, Dad. Right? Ask Iona, she has more stories of Ewan. But it is funny, but it's just unfruitful. Right? Sometimes we have to redirect him because it looks like he's on his way to the restroom, but he's walked into his sister's room. That could be dangerous, right? So there's not a lot of purpose to sleepwalking, and that's essentially what Paul is calling people to in light. Be children of light. Be awake. Don't just go through the motions of faith. Like, yeah, what I used to believe still stands. That's fine. No, it's a continual pursuit of light. Instead of sleepwalking, we live with wide open eyes, paying attention that we are following Jesus. So if you're a kid in here, like for you, the idea is that you would look at the adults that are around you in the church, that you would look at the teenagers that are in the church and see what they do, that they would all be an example for you of a light of life, of pursuing Jesus. And the call, like, no matter how old you are, the call is follow Jesus. Don't wait till you get older. Live as children of light now. God has a purpose for you to bring Jesus glory, and he will do that through you now and as you grow. And it's as easy as just telling Jesus in prayer that you want to follow him and be a child of light. So I just invite you to do that today. And what's in view here is following Christ fully awake. This might just be an invitation, even for some of us that are adults, that if you've just been coasting for a while, maybe even sleepwalking in the faith, today could be the day to wake up and walk as children of light. He would be the most important thing about you. So we walk as children of light. And how we do that walking is we live seeking the light. So seek the light of the world. And being light is not a reference in many other places in the New Testament, but it is exactly who Jesus said he was to his disciples. right? After claiming to be giving living water, after compelling the woman that was caught in adultery to go and sin no more, he said this in John 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One pastor says, he is everything suggested by the sublime metaphor of light and much more. And we are children of that light, the light of Christ. Therefore, we try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, Paul says. As those united to Christ by faith, our goal as believers is to please the Lord in all the circumstances of our lives, to live according to which is good, right, and true. And doing that requires some practical wisdom of applying these ethical standards to different circumstances in our life. And this is where it's just very clear that this is not an individual exercise. This is a letter that is written to the church. So there's this sense that in community, we discern how the Lord has called us to live. And we do that by together studying the Word of God, which is another description of Christ. We do it by praying together, reminding, and together running or walking after Him. It's, you know, we do this like very clearly for us as a small church in our small groups. Like that is the number one place that we're going to get together weekly, study Scripture, pray for each other, remind each other of Christ and His call on our lives. But some of us, we're going to need to go further. We're going to need to individually ask other people, will you just meet with me and just read Scripture and see what it says to my life? And maybe that means you want to hang out with me and we would read Scripture together. Like I want that to be kind of the heartbeat of our church, that we would just submit ourselves to the Word of God as we follow Jesus. As you walk as children of light, you are growing up, being brought to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Paul says. And this means you're going to be just like Him. So that's how we stay in the light. We stay hungry for Jesus and we follow Him. And then it shows. We just reflect Him. One old preacher said, when Christ was in the world, He was like the shining sun. When the sun sets, the moon comes up. The moon is a picture of believers or the church. The church shines, but not with its own light. It shines with reflected light. At times, the church has been a full moon dazzling the world with an almost daytime light. Those were times of great enlightenment, maybe like the days of Paul or Luther and Wesley. At other times, the church has been only a thumbnail moon. And in those days, very little light shone on the earth. But whether the church is a full or thumbnail moon, whether waxing or waning, it reflects the light of Christ. Our light does not originate with us. Oh man, how I long for our light to be full. Also that when the world looks at us, they might see Jesus. It's like those glow-in-the-dark toys. Anybody have a glow-in-the-dark toy? Yeah. If not, say, Mom, it's Mother's Day. Let me buy you one today and go get one, right? Adia even has a glow-in-the-dark wheelchair. How cool is that, right? But the trick with these glow-in-the-dark toys or glow-in-the-dark wheelchair, they don't glow on their own. Have you noticed that? Right? If you take it out of the bottom of the toy box and it's dark, it's not going to glow. It actually needs to be in the light to glow when it's dark. In the same way, then, you need to be in the light to glow. And it's what Jesus wants for you. It's what Paul sings here. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That shining on you is making you reflective of His light. And it's a glimpse, I believe, of what is to come. We see this at the end of the book, at the end of the story in Revelation 21. The Apostle John has this vision of the new heaven and new earth. And he says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. It's Jesus. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. It will only be light. Arise and shine and give God the glory. Glory, children of the Lord. So in Christ, we live a life of light. There's two exhortations from this text, just first to live as light. Be changed by Christ and know that you are free to live for what is good and right and true, and then just do it. One writer says, allow the full light of Jesus to shine on and through our lives so that we will radiate the ethics of light in glowing character. Jesus said, you are light of the world. May we be the light indeed. So commit to being light and then stay awake in the light. Seek Jesus together as you already do, Reservoir Church. But reflect Jesus to the world. They will notice. Your face will be brilliant when you've been with the Lord. The best of mothers reflect this call to come to life each day, and we thank God for them. May we hear it and live by the Spirit in the brilliance that is Christ. Are you up for it? Let's pray. Good and holy God, we thank you for the light that is Christ, the light that has come, that has given us rescue and new life. Help us to live that new life. And Lord, on Mother's Day, we thank you for children. We thank you, especially the children of Reservoir Church, in all their energy, in all their excitement, in all of the things that you have gifted them with and blessed us by having them here. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to raise children, and that these children would raise themselves up as children of light before you. That all of us would be transformed. All of us would show your light, and the world would see you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.